podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to the fifth podcast from this, the all-new XFM Breakfast Show. And hey, on today's podcast, we've got all sorts of stuff. Frank Turner, he swings by and talks to me about all sorts of stuff. Robin Cooper, of course, he drops by and talks to me about all manner of random stuff. Quizface, that makes a comeback by popular demand. It takes place in the 19th century this week, fact fans. And we'll be playing Celebrity or Civilian. I might as well just stop talking and let you actually listen to the content. Here it is.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
This is all a very, very far cry, I would say, from the Fat Duck.
What would he do? Like peanut butter stew on a bed of rice.
You're talking of Heston Blumenthal. Peanut butter stew on a bed of rice.
Is that what he'd do? Is
I love how you think a bed of rice is like the poshest, weirdest thing possible. On a bed of rice? Is that what he'd do, is it?
Oh,
Mr. Fancy
rice.
Pants. It was amazing, though. I had snail porridge at that place.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
Well, it's snails. Quite snaily. Snail being the main ingredient of that one. It's an unusual one. I went on that show he did a while ago, you know, that feast, where he recreates, I guess
different
a series.
Different era, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Roman when I was.
Great show.
Yeah, it was a great show. I felt a little bit under pressure, though, because I'm not the world's most adventurous eater. I can be a little bit queasy when it comes to seafood, things like that, really. At one point, they brought out this kind of weird wobbling dish, and it was like this kind of, I don't know, something gelatin thing that was just kind of vibrating ever slightly. And the man went, please enjoy your cow brain custard.
Oh.
Yeah? Cow brain custard. Now, I've been brought up in the mad cow generation where we really thought that, you know, eating a cow's brain is probably not the wisest thing to do. So I was trying to kind of avoid this dish. And there were some little sort of potato croquettes next to it in like a little sort of a silver triangle. And I thought, well, I'll just eat these. And the camera's moving round, so I'm just biding for time. I'm just eating these things. The director spots me and he goes, Danny, how are you enjoying your cow brain custard? And so I go, all right. And so I sort of, dip my spoon into this wobbling mass of stuff. And it kind of, I get it near my mouth. It doesn't quite go in. And then I manage to get it into my mouth. It's just sort of flapping about in my mouth. And I manage to swallow it. And he goes, well, how was that? And I go, well, yeah, I'm glad I did it. I wouldn't order it in a restaurant, if I'm honest. But I'm glad I've eaten that. I've mainly been trying to avoid eating that with these little potato things. And he goes, you what? I go, these little potato things. And he goes, well, that's the brains. And I go, I go, what's this then? He goes, that's custard. So I was eating brains to avoid eating custard. Oh, they must have thought, this guy is adventurous. He knows exactly what this guy's doing.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Matt, I enjoyed the news this morning. I like the little twists you put on it. The through the keyhole reference, that was nice. Phil, I enjoyed your opening line of the sport.
Thank you.
They're good. You'll have to speak.
It was a good gambit.
It was a good opening gambit. Exactly, Matt, exactly. But you did miss a few stories as normal.
Oh, yeah.
For example, here's one in the paper just now. A shoplifter was treated for serious burns to his gentlemen's agreements, I'm going to call them. I'm going to change that there. After nicking a hot rotisserie chicken and stuffing it down his trousers.
Oh, no.
Now, Matt, were it not for your Nando's card, this could easily be about you. With your predilection for the world of poultry. Ivo Salvage, 28, ripped his trousers off when he was caught and begged staff to peel the bird from his groin, where it was stuck fast by hot fat. One shop worker said he had meat stuck to his gentleman's agreements and was screaming for someone to get it off, which is weirdly what the news just said there. I think they're trying to pad the story out by saying the same thing twice. Police will charge him when he leaves hospital. That's a shame. I wonder how much you get for a chicken accident.
It's just one stolen chicken, isn't it, really?
We don't condone that, Matt.
No, we don't.
Dodgems. Ministers have hit out, Matt, about the new sort of political correctness, health and safety gone mad. Wow. I sound like Richard Littlejohn. And there's one in Butlins. You're no longer allowed to crash dodge them into each other.
Oh, no way.
You have to do, like what it says on the tin, you have to dodge them.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not, I mean, that is technically what you're supposed to do with a dodge them. Yeah. But that's not the fun of dodge them.
No.
It's not.
I said, well, the world's gone mad.
I'll tell you what, in East Yorkshire, you're not allowed to fly kites on beaches anymore either. So, I mean, I agree with all these things, by the way.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
here are a couple. Apparently more than 2 million families, they take their grandparents on holiday with them. That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, that's lovely.
Until you read this bit. So they can look after the kids. And that's not the only grandma story in the paper this morning. Super gran, Olga Kotelko, who's 93 years old, says she keeps breaking javelin records. Well, that's odd already.
Yeah.
Thanks to her diet of sauerkraut and pickles in Sacramento, right. California. I've never heard of this woman. Surely we'd have heard of the javelin record-breaking 93-year-old Olga sauerkraut woman.
Yeah.
Or at least smelt her by now.
Yeah.
That's a terrible diet.
Is she competing at the Olympics, then, or what?
It doesn't say.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, but it got me thinking. Grandmas, right, they are terrific. They're terrific beasts, you know? Tell us something we don't know about grandmas, right? It could be your grandma. What does your grandma get up to? What did your grandma tell you when you were a kid? We can extend it to grand. Let's make it grandparents, all right? Tell us something we don't know about your grandparents. 83936. Dave, your hand shot up there like in school.
My grandma once, when putting out the washing, saw a green pulsating UFO.
What?
Apparently.
A green pulsating UFO?
Yeah, that's what she still sticks to that story as well.
In the sky?
Yeah, in the sky. It just hovered past her face as she was putting the washing
It hovered up. Past her face?
Yeah. So it was and she's really not one to lie.
And it was a small one, a small UFO?
Yeah, not too big, no.
Just pulsating?
Just kind of lobbed like
that. Steve Lomas waving from the window.
Yeah. Did she grow up in the 60s?
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. XFM.
Welcome back. We are XFM. This is the all-new XFM Breakfast Show. And my guest, Frank Turner. We played just before If Ever I Stray, which is our record of the week.
You did, and that was very nice of you to play it then.
Don't be silly.
Well, it's not silly. My mother always told me to say thank you when people did nice things for me.
Very well brought up, young man. Let's play it again now. It'll be on every single day and probably more today on XFM. Where do you start when you're writing a song? Because we were talking about how you tell stories with your song. Is there a story you want to tell, or is there a tune you want to play?
There is no hard and fast rules. This is going to sound a bit weird, but I kind of feel like I don't know very much about my own process of songwriting, simply because when I started doing it, it just sort of happened, and now I'm terrified to examine it too much, in case if I pull it apart, I then can't put it back together again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, some songs take forever and take years and years and years. This one, I was just kind of mucking around on the guitar in a soundcheck in Tampa, in Florida, in fact, and started playing guitar riff, and then started humming over off it, and by the end of the day we had a finished song, and that's the quickest I ever write, and this was a quick one.
You've played a lot of festivals in the summer, as you were saying. You've got more festivals coming up this weekend. Leeds and Reading.
If
you had to choose just one of those two.
Oh no, that's now you see, now
one audience is going to hate you,
because the thing about it is you usually get asked those two questions, that question individually at each festival, and then it's fine because you just say the one you're at, and
yeah,
and thinks that you're
that's
wonderful.
The twist on the question.
But now I'm stuck. You know what, I have actually said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and it is the honest truth. I grew up going to Reading Festival as a kid. I'm a southerner, and I'm going to have to pick Reading simply because I went to Reading in 95, and then I went every year for about a gazillion years, and I've played there many years, and it's kind of got a special place in my heart.
Great.
That's not
why,
that
why do you hate the Leeds Festival?
Oh, no. Don't do it.
What is
Don't
it about the North?
I love Leeds Festival. It's great. I can count about, and this is true, I'm not just saying this, outside of what I just said, I'm pretty sure everybody in the whole world would say that in the UK, audiences get better the further north you go.
Is that right?
That is true. London audiences, I say this as a London audience member, generally stand there going, yeah.
Impressed me.
Yeah, come on. I could have gone to 14 other gigs tonight. But whereas in Manchester, people generally just turn up and they're absolutely wasted already. I nearly said a word I can't. People in Manchester generally show up and they're kind of trashed already, and then they're just there for a good time and they have a great time, and it's kind of raucous and rowdy.
So the audience is closer to London. So say Reading, they're there, and even though they've chosen to see you, they are thinking it's down to you now.
Well, there's a number of other stages they could have gone to.
Well, on that note, I'm going to dub you the XFM Clash Picker, right?
Okay.
That's what you're going to do. So Reading, right? I'm going to give you two gigs that are happening at the same time at Reading. You choose the one that
that you would go to. That's not to say you wouldn't go to the other one. That's just to say, if you had to, which way would you go?
You prefaced the question about reading Leeds like this, and then you went and stuck it. To so, yeah. Right, let's see how we go.
Friday.
I'd go to Friday.
I'd go every day. You've got the Horrors playing at the same time as BDI. Which way do you go? Oh, Horrors or BDI? You've got to choose one. This isn't down to you. You're not in charge of scheduling.
No, I know, but the... I'm not... Can I just go for burger instead?
Yeah, you can... Yeah, absolutely. You can sit there. You can sit that out. Saturday, you've got Pulp at the same time as Crystal Castle.
Oh, Pulp. Definitely Pulp.
Pulp every time. Yep. All right. Sunday, you've got The View or Cage the Elephant.
I would say Cage the Elephant.
Cage the Elephant.
Yeah.
All right.
I should declare a tiny bit of conflict of interest in that we have the same booking agent in America and we've hung out. But they're great as well.
I excellent. Like them. Why so cagey when it comes to the Horrors and BDI?
You know what? We're on radio, so I'm going to be diplomatic.
You'd see neither, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I'd see neither. They're just neither of them particularly bands to my taste.
I thought you were just torn.
No. I wish them both well in their endeavours, but they're not bands that kind of do much for me.
I'd rather have a burger. What kind of burger?
I would have a cheeseburger with lettuce but no tomato.
All the XFM excuses. That will make it into the music news a little bit later on. Frank Turner would rather have a cheeseburger.
The other thing I'd do is go back to the tent for a freshen up.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what people do at festivals.
That is, yeah. Posh ones, I suppose.
Well, freshen up. I mean, I'm talking about possibly a clean pair of socks.
Right.
Rather than kind of a haircut.
Yeah,
and,
no, absolutely.
And a hot shave.
Well, now I see why the folk lot don't like you. If you're a man who changes his socks during festivals, you are not fit.
What utter sellout debauchery.
Frank, thank you so much for coming in today. We love the record. We're going to keep playing it. Good luck at Leeds and Reading this weekend.
Yes, Leeds and Reading. It's going to be great. I'm not really allowed to say anything about what I'm about to say something about, but I'm playing on the main stage at Leeds and Reading. And maybe that will be all well played, but maybe it won't.
All right, now, you know, that would seem to be a nice moment to end the interview. But instead, I'm going to say, what does that mean?
Well,
because there are rumours you'll be playing
I've gone and broken a rule already. I can't say anything
else. This is great. No, perfect. What are you going to be... I'm going to press you. We're not going to... I've got a button here, which will easily get us into the next bit of music. I'm not going to press it.
Can I press it?
No, you can't. You're putting in a couple of extra...
I'm definitely
playing... It sounds
playing.
Like you are.
I am definitely playing the main stage. At Leeds and Reading.
That we know.
And then I will be spending the later afternoon doing the kind of things I like doing at another part of the festival.
Wow, so there are extra Frank Turner gigs.
I didn't say that.
Well,
aloud.
I did. Right. I did. Well, in quite an authoritative voice.
Okay. I'm in trouble now.
Frank, well done. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
We are XFM.
XFM.
So, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to play Celebrity or Civilian. And I believe we have someone ready to play on the line. Becky, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Becky. Where are you? Where is here?
I'm in the car, in the driver's seat, pulled over on a driveway in somewhere. I have no idea.
What do you mean in a driveway? Are you
well,
outside
like
someone's house?
Covering somebody's driveway, yes.
Are you honestly? You're honestly outside someone's house and you don't
know
where?
Honestly, yes. No.
Wow. I dare you to sound the horn right now. Uh-oh.
I'm reversing.
Well, you must just be somewhere safe while you play this.
It's safe. It's more like a lay-by driveway.
Oh, fair enough.
Type of, you know, one of those things.
Hey, so listen, if you can play Celebrity or Civilian, it's very simple.
Someone's
Becky.
Someone's looking out the window at me.
give them a little wave.
No, I will not.
All right, we'll try and get this as quickly as possible before you get arrested, Becky. You can choose between David Hay and the magician Paul Daniels.
Daniels.
You're going for Paul Daniels.
Paul Daniels,
okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm going to read you a series of tweets. You need to get most of these correct to win the tickets, all right? And some will be from the magician Paul Daniels, and some will be from Paul Daniels, an Australian man who is married to a vampire novelist.
Oh.
Okay, and you have to identify which is from the civilian and which is from the celebrity. Here's the first one. It's Saturday night. No one's talking to me. I'm bored and beyond broke. Send me money and booze so I can play blackjack. Is that the magician Paul Daniels? Or is that Paul Daniels, the Australian man married to a vampire novelist?
I'll go with civilian.
Civilian is correct. Excellent work. Here's a strange one, Becky. Rabbits washing themselves. Lovely to watch. Is that the magician Paul Daniels? Or is that Paul Daniels, the Australian man married to a vampire novelist?
I'm going to go with celebrity.
And you'd be correct. Yes. Look at Phil. Look at Phil. Phil is virtually on the floor at that one. Okay, here's another one, Becky. Damn it, I'm a nice guy. Why do people run from me just because I'm talkative on the internet? Sad face. Is that the magician Paul Daniels, or is that Paul Daniels, the vampire novelist husband?
I think it should have been celebrity, but I think it's civilian.
It's civilian, you're absolutely right. Here's another one. My darn keyboard went haywire. Ran virus checkers, etc. Just noticed number lock is pressed, and I never use that. Is that the magician Paul Daniels tweeting that to his following, or is that Paul Daniels the Australian?
I think it's celebrity.
And you'd be correct.
Yes!
It is! Paul Daniels, he never uses his number lock on his keyboard. It's a little thing. And the last one, this seems quite sinister. Time to start culling people who have culled me. Sad face. I believe he means in terms of followers.
Because obviously our Australians use sad faces before, I think I'm going to go with civilian.
Oh, the brain work there was terrific. Civilian, you are correct. You got them all right, Becky.
I am an egghead.
You are an egghead when it comes to the magician Paul Daniels and his Australian namesake. The tickets are yours, Becky.
Amazing.
Who are you going to take with you?
I have no idea. I'm sure my phone's just started to go a bit crazy, so I'm assuming there's a few friends listening. So,
excellent.
You know, it might send actually in your
be,
bribe.
It might actually be the authorities at this point wondering why you're still parked outside that woman's house.
Do you think I should knock and ask them if they want to come?
I would drive. Listen, I would give you another pair of tickets if you would do that now.
Really?
Yeah?
No, I'm not doing it.
XFM. Tell us something we don't know.
So we asked you to tell us something we don't know about your grandma or your granddad. Huge response this morning. Some amazing stuff coming in. I mean, you know, there's Dave who says, Dave, I'm confirmed listener Dave, regretfully in Stoke. My grandma is emigrating to Australia in a couple of months. She's 85. That's incredible. Alex in Wimbledon has come at us with a fact. The world's youngest grandmother is just 23 and lives in Romania. Grace.
That is amazing.
It is amazing. Grace, confirmed listener Grace, says, my granddad came to England from Ireland on a raft when he was a kid. And then she says, I'm not sure if he's lying. Simon from Bromley, he regularly gets his grandma to do bowling on the Wii. He says, I know, she is hardcore. Loads and loads and loads of great ones. So why don't we just crack on? Let's do the top five.
At number five,
it is confirmed listener Zoe.
My gran near enough met Brad Pitt on the scene of his new film last week.
A grand, near enough, whoa, met Brad Pitt on the... I guess near enough also means didn't. Yeah. But, you know, we'll go with it. She definitely saw Brad Pitt. That's a great thing. What's next?
At number four,
it's confirmed listener Latona.
My granddad invented the diamond tip stylus.
Invented the diamond tip stylus. That is amazing. Excellent work. What's next?
At number three,
it's confirmed listener Gemma.
My grandpa used to use the bacon fat from the pan, so he always had an Elvis quiff, and he always smelled like meat, but I loved him.
Her granddad smelled of meat, but saved money when it came to expensive hair products. What's next?
At number two,
confirmed listener Neil in Essex. When asked which rice my nan wanted in our local curry house, she said, Uncle Ben's.
Very nice. Very nice and fitting that a product placement comes from you, Matt. Let's see what... Did you text it in?
The number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
Courtesy of confirmed listener Steve.
My granddad was once barred from the Bromley branch of Woolworths because he constantly thought the pick and mix was a buffet system.
Very nice, a great granddad. It is amazing, a brilliant granddad fact there. We are about to play Quiz Face. This, of course, is the radio feature that caught the imagination of dozens. It was last week, it was a hard one to get through. It was the first one. You all understood the rules, didn't you? You know, you all look at me blankly.
Could you just recap? Could you maybe give us a quick recap?
It was kind of, it's a very complicated quiz, but you do pick it up as you go along.
Right.
Okay. So last week, we did Quiz Face for a pair of tickets, and that went very well. Someone was very pleased to win those. And Quiz Face, there's a bit of a twist this week to keep it interesting. Quiz Face this week takes place in the 19th century, okay? So we have Lee on the line, do we? Lee, are you there?
Hello, mate, you all right?
Are you ready to play Quiz Face?
Yep.
Okay, as I say, you should know the rules by now, so let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face.
Lee.
Yeah.
The year is 1869.
Right.
You are the Spanish adventurer and conquistador Alejandro de Sant Augusta Boheme. Okay? Right. Choose a number.
Seven.
Whoa. Okay, Lee. Mm-hmm. So the adventure you have chosen. Fresh from release from a Dominican prison, you have travelled deep into the rainforests of darkest Brazil, Lee, on the trail of the 12th of 12 legendary crystal skulls.
Right.
You have...
right.
Lee, you have with you your rations. 12 euros. And your trusty sidekick, the parrot. What is your parrot's name? What is your parrot's name, Lee?
Fred.
That's incorrect. Tired and limp, you and Fred, you make it into a clearing in the woodland when suddenly, Lee, a tree comes crashing to the ground. An old man, Lee, bearded and wizened, stands before you.
Alejandro de Santa Augusta Bohem,
he says.
I have something for you.
The old man holds a box. Now, Lee, roll the dice. A number between 1 and 6, please.
4.
7.
Lee, your choice is... A, open the box. Or B, not open the box. You have 2 seconds to decide.
A.
Choose.
A.
You're saying A, okay? So A is open the box. Oh, Lee. Inside the box is the most beautiful sight you've ever seen. There's an elf king, Lee. There's an elf king. And he's playing the mandolin.
In the box.
In the box.
Lee, do you A, ask him what he wants to say to you, or B, simply stare transfixed by the beauty of the music? You have 2 seconds to decide.
I'm going to stare transfixed by the beauty of the music.
Which one did you choose? B, to stare at him?
Yeah, I'm staring at him.
Okay. Okay, so you've chosen to stare at the elf king. Lee, the elf king puts down his mandolin.
Yep.
He looks up at you and he says,
if you wish to find the 12th of the fabled crystal skulls, riddle me this. How doth this sentence end?
He looks at you very seriously, Lee, and he says,
we are
XFM.
Hooray! Excellent work! Lee, you've won the tickets. How do you feel?
I don't know.
XFM. Did you see Celebrity Big Brother last night? Anyone?
I saw bits of it, yeah.
I think this will be our only link ever, probably.
Celebrity ever. In inverted commas, most definitely.
There was something strange going on. All the rumours that you... I mean, you were obsessed, Matt. You were talking about Charlie Sheen, Pamela Anderson.
Nothing like it.
No, it wasn't. No, nothing like that. Any big highlights for you from the show?
That guy who was in Coronation Street.
Lucien.
I've never seen him before in my life.
I can't believe they got Lucien and they got Bob Sable. Bob Sable.
Which one was he again?
Bob Sable. Bob Sable worked with Pippi Dankworth.
Yeah, Sable. It's like a brand now.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked it when Sally Berko came on and her VT started and she said, I think most people will know me for... I thought, I'll stop you there. I'm not entirely sure. Bob Sable at one point said, I'm very inappropriate. And I thought, if you mean as a booking, yeah. Pretty much, sir. Pretty much. Darren Lyons, Mr. Paparazzi, at one point, when he walked in, you know, he's made his living on this off the back of this kind of thing, he walked in, and they started booing him. And I thought, well, that's a heartening sign that the audience of Celebrity Big Brother is condemning the invasion of celebrity privacy. Yeah. I thought, it's good, they've got morals. No irony seen there whatsoever. No, well, I'm sort of looking forward to, you know, to the next, what is it, 3 years that it goes on?
Yes, yeah, can't wait.
I did think that Brian Dowling did a good job. And Emma Willis as well. Difficult circumstances, a lot of pressure. I don't know where, because they're supposed to have spent, what, £220 million on this relaunch?
Yeah.
What have they spent that on?
I know.
It looked like Games Master.
Yeah, I think Dowling did seem to be reading the autobiography quite clearly throughout.
So is that right?
That's one thing I'll say.
You wouldn't get that with the North Leicestershire Under-10s Newsreading Champion of the Year? Absolutely not. Hey, listen, that's probably all we'll talk about Celebrity Big Brother for the next few months, although who knows, anything could happen.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
Producer Dave, the banana thing.
Yes.
You were hanging out with a 6-foot banana this weekend.
Well, I was, yeah.
In fact, you created the 6-foot banana some kind of like genetic experiment on the streets of Liverpool.
I didn't make it, but I provided the banana.
I see.
Yeah. It was my best friend's stag do, and being the best man, I had the responsibility of putting on the stag do and dressing him up in the most ridiculous outfit possible.
And you went banana.
I went banana.
Why banana?
Well, he works in the fruit and veg industry.
Great.
So it was that or a carrot.
Just
I know, I'm perfectly aware there are more than
those are the two
bananas
you know.
And carrots in fruit and
those
veg.
Those are the two you know.
Yeah.
There's carrots and bananas. And why did you shun the carrot and go for the banana?
Isn't it a slightly funnier item of food? A carrot's a bit serious. A banana's, there's something...
This feels like
funny.
A text question coming on.
There's something funny about a banana. I don't know.
he looks
hilarious, innit?
And you were just wandering around the streets of Liverpool with a giant banana, going into various bars and clubs and hanging out with the banana man.
And my mum's black leggings he was wearing.
All right, this is taking a turn that I don't really want to go down. Santa, what we do about this time every day is we tell a fact about ourselves. Now, here's the thing. Myself and Dave, like Matt is getting off easy now because me and Dave, we're on to fact 16.
Wow.
You know, Dave thought he was a four-fact guy. We're now pushing him. I mean, we've used the banana one now. That's gone. So we're looking for a fact about yourself.
Okay. I have a certificate that declares me the best potato peeler in my brownie troop.
Wow.
From around about 1988.
Goodness me.
I think that still stands.
Absolutely. And where was this brownie troop in the country?
In Weniston, in Suffolk.
Okay. And how many rival brownies were there?
Probably about 7.
And how many took part in the potato peeling competition?
That was all of us.
All of them?
Yeah.
So the best of 7?
Yeah.
In that troop?
Yeah.
And you still have that certificate?
I have it, yeah, tucked away somewhere safe.
And
if
still...
I ever need to produce it.
And when was the last time you peeled a potato, and did you do it at speed?
Yesterday, to make roasties. And yes, at speed, and very well.
And when was the last time you mentioned this certificate?
A long time ago.
Really?
Because yeah.
I get the sense you mention it a lot.
I just drop it into casual conversation.
I mean, that's the first fact you come up with about yourself. It's clearly something you're proud of.
It is. I'm very proud of it. I don't have that many certificates.
Yeah.
And
that's the main one.
That's the main one.
Excellent work. Dave, fact 16 from you.
Fact 16. Okay, on the train up to Liverpool this weekend, I was sat next to Jambo from Hollyoaks.
Is that right?
A.K.A. Will Mellor. This is
Will Mellor. Will Mellor.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
And I've got almost nothing to ask about that. how was it? Did he have a cup of tea? Tell me something about Will Mellor that I wouldn't know.
He was with his girlfriend or his wife or his partner of some sort, and their baby boy.
Oh, very nice.
So he was very busy. His hands were tied in terms of... We didn't really get a chance to chat to him because...
So no showbiz gossip. You can't... nothing so far in this story is going to make Heat magazine.
No. No, nothing really.
All right, well, I feel that you're running out of facts. I feel that this could be the final week.
I warned you.
My fact is I recently found out that through the male bloodline in my family, my dad's dad, 19 times, as pure as that, goes back to William Wallace and his brother. And my great-great-great-granddad, times 19, was Sir John Wallace, who was William Wallace's brother. And William Wallace didn't have any kids, so I'm as close to William Wallace, Braveheart, as you can get.
Wow.
Wow. You've waited until now to reveal that
I
fact.
Almost can't believe that I've waited this long.
That's a strong fact.
It's a strong fact. I'm having a second wind, fact-wise. I think I can make it through this week, Dave. I think you're petering out. You need to up your game. Matt Dyson, he's got a couple days off, so, I mean, he's got time to create facts better than I once sat next to Will Mellor. A very confused tweet has just come in from someone called Holly Berry. I wish this old lady on the radio would stop banging on. Someone has messed with my stations again. This is not XFM. I think, you know, just look at the dial, you know, but then she can't hear me, can she? Because someone, unless she means I sound like an old lady. Santa?
Surely not.
Surely not, thank you. Now, Santa, your show is coming up in about half an hour.
Mm.
Excited? You ready? You prepared?
Yes.
Seems like other presenters on this station, Santa, you know, I make suggestions for their show. I'm a team player, you
okay,
know?
Okay.
I walk around, I put my hand on people's shoulders while they're preparing, and I say, how about this as an idea? And
okay.
And as yet, nothing. Has Rick Shaw done Rick Shaw's Big Paw yet? No, he hasn't.
I don't believe so.
He hasn't, no. That was, you know, I was selling it to him. Where will Rick Shaw's Big Paw land today? Will it be in ancient China, the Ming Dynasty, for 2 hours of old Chinese music? You know, he ignored that. Eddie Temple Morris's Crazy World of Boris's. Nothing. Ignored. This is all free. I'm doing this for free. Santa.
Mm.
What about Santa Hunter? Yeah?
Right.
Santa Templeton hides in Leicester Square, perhaps holding a balloon or carrying a pot plant. And a Santa Hunter stands at this window here, looking out over Leicester Square, trying to spot her amid a group of 300 other Santa-likes that XFM would put on permanent and paid standby. Yeah? This is Where's Wally for the XFM generation.
Oh, okay.
And you would, that would be your whole show.
How would that work on the radio?
We would just play music.
And then eventually someone will go, found her!
Yeah, there'd be some code words. Okay. All right, okay, you've obviously got some kind of problem with that one, fine. I mean, I had Santa, that was a bit like Jim Will Fix It. Various people get people called Sue's and Sue's Sue Santa, and people try and see. I don't have much for that one. Punter Santa, a group of American footballers attempt to punt Santa from London Landmark to London Landmark in an attempt to cover the whole city in a relentless search for music news. And note, this would be a world first. No one's ever done this.
Right. That one I'm quite interested in.
Santa Punter? Great. Can we get an American football team on standby right now and some padded trousers for some time?
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. It's only Robin Cooper. Here
it's
he is.
It's only Robin Cooper. Hello. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today we're going to be doing a quiz. We've got your letters coming in. Just one came in from Nick Sullivan saying, I enjoy the show, Barbara. Keep playing Simply Red.
We're going to do good news, Robin.
Right.
This is something we do. We usually share our good news in the studio.
Share the good news.
Yes, and then we get people to tell us their good news.
Right.
And a bit to cheer up London, cheer up
yes,
the country.
Cheer up London. Come on, everybody. Let's all be cheery.
We're going to use that.
Come on, London. I need to do my bit to cheer up this fine city.
Well,
because you know it's one of the most famous cities in the world.
London is.
People
right?
come, did you know, every year thousands of tourists visit London to see its sights, hear the sounds, doing all the senses, taste the nice food, smell the odour, and there's only four, isn't there?
Yeah, those are the four things that people come to London for.
London town.
So let's do good news. Robin, what is your good news? And remember, stick to the format by saying good news, guys, first.
Good news, guys. First, I took my first ever digital photograph.
Oh, that's good news. What was it a photograph of? And what
well,
did you
I
use?
Wanted to buy a mirror, so I couldn't decide which one, so I took photos of mirrors, but in the end, it just ended up photos of the camera. Because they were mirrors, so I ended up buying other cameras.
Fair enough. That's good news, everybody. Matt, what good news is happening out there?
Good news, confirmed listener Jill. I haven't got to work weekends until the 5th of November.
Oh, that's good news. Well
that's
done.
Because of an injury?
I'm not sure. Could well be.
Hope not.
Tim the plumber says, good news, guys. I have seen a fox. So
oh, well.
Good. Well
just
done.
Make sure it's not in Martin Bale's house. Because didn't I tell you?
Yes.
I tripped over it.
I heard that. Right. Matt, what else is going on?
Good news from confirmed listener Joe in Acton.
Yeah.
I hear the Big Brother house was built by Jigsaw from the Saw films.
Was that right?
I don't understand that.
That's just, it's just news, isn't
good
it?
News.
Good news, guys. Good news, guys, says Al on the M25, Robin.
Yes.
I lay with woman last night for the first time in 8 months. In summary, I was adequate.
Right.
That's good news all round.
He was adequate. In summary, what? It was a summary feeling he had inside. He probably did.
Probably did. Anything else there, Matt?
Good news, guys. While on the way into work at 7:30 this morning, I spotted a small deer in an open field in Chingford, E4 Snodger, Buckhurst Hill. Good news.
That's good news.
That's very
good
nice. News. Deers are wonderful creatures. They're part of our heritage, and it's one of the reasons tourists go to the rural parts of Britain.
It's absolutely true. All these things are facts. And confirmed listener Kasia, what is your good news?
Good news, guys. I've just started work at Monsoon, and they play XFM on the table next to me all day long.
Oh, hey. Kasia, that's not good news. That's great news. Excellent work.
Well
Robin...
done, Kasia. That's not good news. That's great news. On to our next item, please.
Well, invent a feature for us, Robin,
right,
and we'll do
it
next time.
What do you prefer, chalk or tables?
Chalk or tables?
XFL.
We've been asking you, as usual, to confirm yourselves as listeners by telling us something amazing about yourself. Santa. Who's out there?
Well, Barry says, Danny, I had a dream. I was taking photos of a badger in my back garden last night.
Okay.
Then driving into work this morning, I saw a poor dead badger on the road.
Voodoo.
Not only that, I stopped to get a coffee from my local petrol station and saw a headline on the Daily Sport reading Gordon Ramsay dwarf eaten by badger. Coincidence?
This does seem suspicious, Barry. Confirmed listener Barry. Welcome along, though, Barry. Who else is out there?
Little Jason on Twitter says, I found out yesterday my lovely girlfriend is a direct descendant of Henry VIII, so I may be marrying into royalty.
Excellent work. There's a few royal things going on here as well. Someone else, where was it? Oh, yeah, Hannah, my ex-boyfriend, was also related to William Wallace, even had some items handed down and hung on the wall of their dressing room. That's the third of three so far royal facts this morning involving our listeners, Santa. That's amazing. Gets more amazing. On the line, confirmed listener Joe, are you there?
I am here, hello.
Hello, Joe, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well also. Well done on being a confirmed listener.
Thank you.
Not at all. And you have, a fact about yourself that also involves royalty.
I do, yes. When I was 14, I worked at my local pub, the Swan in Inkpen, which is in Berkshire. And I turned up for work one evening to find a very large man stood at the door with a big gun, and I was ushered in quickly to find out that my guests for the evening were the King and Queen of Sweden.
Wow. And are you certain it was them?
Yes, absolutely certain it was them.
Because it's one of those things that someone could claim. That there's a certain level of well-known person where, you know what they're called, but you don't know what they look like. Did you ask for ID?
I didn't myself ask for ID, but I think my boss asked for ID.
What did they have to drink or for dinner?
They had, for their first course and second course, they had traditional Swedish food, which we had to buy in especially because the pub actually served food from Singapore.
Oh.
So for the first two courses, they had traditional Swedish dish. And after every course, the men changed places. Which was fine, but by the time it got to dessert, they decided that they actually wanted traditional English puddings, so treacle tarts, sponge pudding. So that was quite confusing when the men changed places, because we had no idea what they were eating. But they were really pleasant, and it was, yeah, really amazing.
Absolutely.
And when I went, when my parents picked me up at 10:30, and I told them, I don't think they believed me.
No, they thought you'd been illegally sampling the wares at your pub. That's an amazing story. Thank you so much, confirmed listener Joe.
No problem.
Excellent work. Also on the line, we have confirmed listener Emma. What's your fact?
Hi. Hello. At Manchester gig a couple of months ago for Kings of Leon, I was right on the barrier, and Jared Falwell came into the crowd, and I wouldn't let go of his thumb. And then later on that
whoa. What do you mean you wouldn't let go of his thumb? You reached out and you grabbed his thumb. You clamped on like a limpet.
I did. Yeah.
Why his thumb? Why his thumb specifically?
It was the only thing I could grab.
So you grabbed his thumb. You yeah. hung on for dear life to poor Jared's thumb. And was he trying to get away?
For 2 minutes. Yeah, he was trying to get away. So yeah.
That's quite an awkward 2 minutes, Emma.
Yeah, not for me.
You enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah.
Nice work. Well, well done for essentially assaulting a man.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
XFM. The man, the myth, the legend, Tony Bowen. You're working your way through the XFM book, the top 1,000 songs of all time. How's that going? How far into it are you?
Not bad. I've got some interesting new instruments to try and wheedle my way in there with. I've picked up a mandolin.
Yeah, really?
I've even got a squeeze box harpsichord.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see what we can do with some of that.
Oh, my Lord, you're going to have to bring some of them in.
We'll see, yeah.
How many songs are you into the 1,000?
Over the 200 mark. Ish.
Wow, so you're a fifth of the way through.
So far, yeah.
You better hope XFM don't release another book next year. Because you're going to be very busy.
Absolutely,
in terms of your music.
Yeah.
And in terms of one more song, you know, it's always nice to sort of challenge you. You accept these challenges readily. There doesn't need to be much you can't do. We want to throw sort of a curveball at the listeners. A few options came up for things that we haven't heard you play. You suggested a few. There's one in particular we like. What would that be?
Well, some Dizzy Rascal. Yeah. You can maybe put out this. You've tested my rapping abilities.
Fantastic. This isn't in the top 1,000 songs of XFM, the book, as yet. But after you play it, it might be. With Bonkers, here's Tony Bowen.
Every day I wake up, it's a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. Acting sad, but I'm in too deep. All I get about is sex and violence. Every bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get through it, but I let sanity give me the slip. Bonkers. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Man, I'm just in my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but get found for free. Man, just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Ba 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 ba. Wub, bonkers. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. But I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Bonkers. A rare talent, excellent work. At Tony Bowen Music on Twitter, or Tony Bowen on YouTube.
XFM.
So I've gathered some of the guys. In you come. There, sit down there. Gathered some of the guys here from XFM just to talk us through what else is happening today. Owen, Drive Time. Owen, just describe your 4 till 7 show for me.
A melodrama about the evils of drinking.
Got you.
Kind of primitive AA, if you will.
Great, that's lovely. Dan O'Connell, you're on from 1 till 4. What wise advice will you be bringing to the airwaves?
Stay out of the rain, have a good afternoon.
Excellent, that's food for thought, though. Have you been working out, by the
way? Looks buff, man.
Yeah.
It's not buffenting.
Can you make us sound like a car? That's not bad. Owen, your thoughts, please, on Dan's impression, if you
will. Meld. Grand meld.
No, don't use that. It's unprofessional to use language like that. Sunter, you enjoyed that, Sunter, you?
I was a little bit of an excitable mess.
Yeah, you were. Your little face lit up. What are you going to be doing after your show today?
Going off to Paris to work on some opera.
Are you? Great. That's perfect. Well, you're on from 10. All right, thanks, guys. Cheers. Yeah. Yeah, all right, then.
X
XFM.
Chris and Sarah are still here. Chris and Sarah, I don't know if you were, you know, listening a little bit earlier on when Matt did his music news.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was really.
Yeah, because all week I've been sort of thanking Matt and just saying, you know, well done, Matt. And I find him an underappreciated, I don't know, figure. Kind of a sad figure, who an underappreciated figure here at XFM, and I just want to say thank you once more. It's the end of the week. I'm not going to continue this. I just want you to know that every time you do music news from now on, it is, you know, with joy in my heart and real love in my eyes that I say thank you. And it's not just me that feels this way. I mean, Chris and Sarah, you'd like to say thank you to Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah. Those two. Maria isn't here. She wants to. Martin from online, he's popped up just to say thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
Sporty Phil, he's over there, he wants to say thanks. I would like to say thank you, Dave. Do you want to thank Matt?
Thanks, Matt.
It's not just us, though, it's very much the management here at XFM as well.
Hi, Matt. It's Mike Walsh here, head of music for XFM, and I just think it's really important to tell you what an amazing job you do. So, thank you very, very much. The music news every day is amazing. I thought today it was fabulous. Mm. And what you do for us as a radio station, what you do for our listeners is pretty incredible. And it's important that you know how much we appreciate you and what you do. And thank you, mate. Thank you.
That was Mike Walsh, head of music there. So that's nice. You like that?
No, he felt that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely he did. He was very, you know, adamant that he should say that. Our guests as well, when our guests come in and they hear it, they you know, they always want to say thanks.
Hello, I'm Simon Bird from The Inbetweeners. I'd just like to say a big thank you to Matt Dyson for this morning's brilliantly original music news. Without you, XFN would be nothing. Thank you, Matt. Well.
Yeah, and he speaks thank not you. Only, I guess, for the guests, but also a lot of the listeners.
Morning, Matt. It's Dean the Meat Man here. I was the one who swore on the radio yesterday. Just to let you know, Matt, I think you're doing a f***ing great job with the music news, but I will f***ing be without you, mate. You're a diamond. You're the dog
Yeah, man. So I mean, that's pretty much everyone. You know,
I think
you
got that one means the most.
Yeah. Well, you say that, of course. You say that, Matt. But I mean, you know, we're talking listeners. We're talking industry things here. You know, we're talking guests and all that kind of stuff. There's another bunch of people who would like to say thanks. The people who represent your loved ones.
Hi, Mickles. It's me, your fiance Katie. Just ringing to say that's so much for all the music news that you do every day, because obviously, you know, I know that every night you sweat about it and you're really worried about, you know, what you're going to see. And anyway, I think you're a massive star. Your music news is brilliant every morning, and I know that the listeners must appreciate it as much as I do. And I just hope that our baby daughter, when she's born, is half as good at reading music news as you.
There you go, Matt Dyson, ladies and gentlemen.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
Well, there you go. That was the fifth podcast from the all-new XFM Breakfast Show. We're doing another one, which will be out in approximately a week's time, which is codenamed Podcast 6. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.